Well, as many of you regular listeners know, I have a special affinity for people who have taken difficult situations and turned them into positives for others. And this morning's guest is a great example of exactly what I'm talking about. Chris Smith is known as the Diabetic Chef. And for those of you who have diabetes or have a friend or loved one with diabetes, you'll want to listen carefully. Chris joins us by phone this morning. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Tricia. How are you?
I'm great. Welcome to HealthLink On Air. So you were a student at the Culinary Institute back in the 1990s. You were working at a four-star restaurant, and you began losing weight, feeling run down. You went to the doctor, and?
And shortly after that, got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes.
Type 1. That has got to have been a major surprise.
It really, really was, to an extent, because what was interesting, and this is really interesting to point out, I had what we later defined as symptoms. So at the time, I had fatigue, I was tired, I was drinking a lot of liquids, I had stomach cramps that were so severe, I was being treated for an ulcer that did not exist.
Uh-huh.
So these are things that, you know, being stressed out in a culinary school or in any kind of college environment, you know, it could be a symptom of just normal everyday things.
Yes.
It was the weight loss that really started to kick in, that really fast-tracked for me to continue to go back to the doctor. This went on for 7 months. And then the last 6 weeks, I lost the weight. I lost over 30 pounds, and I was down to 105 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm 5'10", so I was pretty thin to begin with.
You were a stick.
I was a stick, and then I got a really thin stick, and one thing led to another and got diagnosed with the type 1 diabetes. Which is interesting because it's only 5% of the population of all diabetics. So 95% are what we call type 2.
Well, and actually, isn't that very late in life to be diagnosed with type 1?
It is extremely rare for a person to be diagnosed with type 1, which, you know, in my culinary terms, I'm not a physician, so a chef perspective, it means that your pancreas really doesn't perform or create any insulin, so
right.
You need an external source, which means either insulin shots or an insulin pump.
Right.
So normally you acquire this illness before your teen years, generally speaking. So at the age of 27, to be diagnosed with type 1, it is an extremely rare occurrence.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, I want to move on to talk about what it is you're doing now, because I think this is huge. You then took this experience, and knowing you were in cooking school, you married your vocation with your avocation and your life situation. Where did you take your career when you were finished with school?
Well, you know, it was really interesting. My physician said, you need to leave this industry because it's going to kill you.
Yeah.
I was working a lot of hours, and excuse me, I just didn't agree with that. And I searched for a physician that would be able to help me manage my illness. And what's interesting to point out about diabetes, this is one of the few diseases that you can actually control.
Yes, that's true.
So in doing so, I learned how to manage my diabetes successfully. And then what I decided to do was to really take my personal experience of being a diabetic and merge it with my professional experience of being a chef. And one thing led to another. I started speaking to audiences, and that just, you know, the audiences kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then I teamed up with the ADA, the American Diabetes Association,
mm-hmm.
and we've actually created two cookbooks. My first cookbook is called Cooking with the Diabetic Chef, and my second cookbook, which just came out, is the Diabetic Chef's Year-Round Cookbook.
Ah, very good. Well, what kinds of emphasis or differences are you trying to emphasize now in your cooking? I mean, healthier, certainly, but healthier for diabetics in what way?
Well, you know what's fascinating is it's not only for people affected with diabetes.
Uh-huh.
My approach to food is for a healthy lifestyle. And as I've spoken to hundreds of thousands of people, I realized that when that person that's affected with diabetes is sitting at the dinner table, a lot of times they might get one meal, and everybody else gets another meal.
And that is not fair.
Well, it's not only not fair, and I've experienced this myself. It's not only not fair, it doesn't make sense when you have other things that are in play. We have obesity that is at epidemic levels in every age demographic. So the concept in my food is moderation, variety, and portion control. So we're emphasizing really fresh foods, but portions that are appropriate to the body type. We're emphasizing seasonality, which means you want to eat a peach in July and August. You don't want to eat a fresh peach in January because it's going to taste disgusting. It's going to be three times as expensive.
Right.
And it just doesn't, it's not in season.
And so that's where your year-round cookbook comes in, is talking about what is appropriate in what season?
Precisely. conflict. Precisely. It goes into that, but it's also a teaching tool. In the first chapter, I demonstrate, and how I do this is through recipes, how you can cook different meals and have what I call template recipe. So for an example, I have a simple chicken breast recipe that once you understand the steps that I take, and by the way, I didn't invent this. This is something that we do in restaurants. But if you do these steps, you can apply this to any meat item and get the same consistent, wonderful results.
Very good.
So you're looking at whether it's beef, chicken, pork, veal, fish. It doesn't matter if it's a 4-ounce chicken breast or a 20-pound turkey. If you follow these steps, you can be successful and get that great-tasting flavor
of
the meats.
So it's good advice regardless of whether you have diabetes or not.
Precisely.
Now, I understand you do the speaking, as you mentioned, and you're going to be coming to Syracuse.
I am. I'm going to be coming this Wednesday.
Very good. And you'll be speaking at the diabetes program along with the Joslin Center?
Yes, ma'am.
Very good. You've done that before, haven't you? You're a return act.
I am a return act. And it's wonderful. I love Syracuse. I am a New Yorker at heart, so to be able to come back home, it's just a wonderful, wonderful experience.
That's just great. Now, you'll have some of your books with you?
We'll be able to have both of my books there.
Okay.
And actually, I also write for Better Homes and Gardens.
Uh-huh.
And Better Homes and Gardens has a magazine. It's a quarterly magazine called Diabetic Living Magazine. And I have to tell you, it was very funny. My wife and I stopped at the bookstore, and we looked on the bookshelf, and here is a book, Better Homes and Gardens Diabetic Living Cookbook.
Uh-huh.
And one thing led to another. We open up the book, and there I am. So I've got probably 40 or 50 pages in that book as well from stories of the magazine. So I get to say I have two cookbooks brand new out on bookshelves.
Ah, there you go. And you have a website, thediabeticchef.com.
Yes.
You're a busy man, and we'll look forward to seeing you here this week in Syracuse. Thanks so much, Chris.
Thank you, Trish.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's checkup from the neck up. How to stop worrying about the market meltdown, or psst, three hot investment tips. Recent stock market news and watching our retirement investments disappear down the rabbit hole has been anxiety arousing, huh? Guess we're working a few years longer than we thought. And if you're like me, you're looking for guaranteed investments with increasing payoff for our future health and happiness. Well, I've got just what we're looking for. And what's more, we don't need a penny more to get in on the action. But Dr. Neckup, you say, if not more money, what? And where are we going to invest it? Answer, we're going to invest our anxiety. That's right. Where first? We'll invest our anxious energy in moving from our haphazard finances to doing the math, making a plan, and putting it into action. What math? A budget. What plan? From, I really need to spend my money on this frou-frou, to, I just want it, to, I'm going to invest this reclaimed disposable income instead of spending it on the frou-frou I really don't need. Action will take a lesson from the grand master of getting our money, Uncle Sam, and have these rediscovered bucks deducted from our paychecks and sent directly to our retirement plan. All together now, ka-ching! Where next? We'll invest our anxious energy in our health. We're all worried about money to pay for future prescriptions and doctor visits, but if we invested that energy wasted in worry now in getting some more exercise and eating more fruits, veggies, and less fat, we'd be a lot healthier for a whole lot longer. So let's see what excuses we have right now for not making these simple guaranteed investments in our health and sweep them away. Think of the savings on docs and drugs. And hey, there is no copay on walking. And fruits and veggies are cheaper than soda and chips. All together now, ka-ching! Third investment, here. Remember, over and over again, the research shows money doesn't buy happiness. Once we're above poverty, have clothes to wear, enough to eat, a safe place to stay, more cash doesn't lead to much more happiness. What keeps us happy is being healthy, we already talked about that, and having good relationships. So once we've got our anti-poverty plan in place, let's stop worrying about money and invest that energy in our loved ones. It doesn't cost a penny to be caring and emotionally generous. And people with good relationships live longer, time for working more to save more money if we want to. The world's richest man, Warren Buffett, summed it up nicely. He said, true success in life is measured by how many of the people you want to love you actually do. One last time. Ka-ching. From the firm of O'Neill, Buffett, and Freud, where we're bullish on psychology, I'm Dr. Rich O'Neill. Thanks for listening.